When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Heaven must be like this. Now that is the elation I'm talking about. What a surprise today that we have you here. How exciting. The Hall of Famer, Isaiah Thomas, always so great to see you. How are you?
I am good, and it's always good to see you. Congratulations to you and Stephen A on all y'all success and just killing the ratings, killing the shows. Whatever y'all been doing is just, y'all got the magic touch for real. So congratulations to you.
Thank you so, so much. We're working hard, but we are certainly having a lot of fun, so I appreciate that. And today's going to be fantastic. And look who finally showed up. There he is, the man of the hour, the face of the program, Stephen A. Smith.
There was a delay in me coming on, but there was a reason for that. I wanted everybody to see Zeke, one of the greatest point guards in the history of the NBA. I said, you know what? I got one of the all-time greats with me. What they need to see me first for? What they need to see me first for? They need to see him, okay? And that is why we started off the show with you, my man.
Thank you, and I am good, and thank you, and As I've said to you before in private, and I'm going to say this public, I know you did your Mount Rushmore, but you are on our Mount Rushmore. So thank you for being who you are, and you're the best I've seen in my lifetime.
Thank you.
Doing this. And what you and Molly are doing is just, again, off the charts. Y'all will go down in history.
Right.
Thank you.
Well,
thank
I appreciate you, thank that, you, thank but that's not going to save fight. You today. I love you for it, but that's not gonna save you today. Let's go.
All right, Zeke SA, let's do this. We have a good one tonight. How about this? The surging Boston Celtics, 6 in the East, facing the 8th seed, new look Brooklyn Nets. However, Ben Simmons has been ruled out, and due to mandates, Kyrie Irving cannot play either. There is optimism that part-time Kyrie fellow will be full-time by the playoffs if COVID mandates continue to be lifted. Here's the Hall of Famer, Steve Nash, with more.
I think he's working towards being able to play in every game. So if the mandate is lifted, the expectation would be that he can play in all our games. But I think that's what he's been waiting for and what he's excited about. And if the opportunity arises, you know, the plan and the goal is for him to play every night. I will say he's been extremely locked in. You know, Kyrie's been great on the practice floor. He's been great in film sessions. He's been creating dialogue over aspects of our play. So I sense, a real focus and urgency from him. And so if that's any indication, you know, I would say he is getting excited at the prospect of being allowed to play in all our games, hopefully in the short term.
Isaiah, I can't wait to get your take on this. I'm very intrigued by the East, and the ESPN has the Eastern Conference Finals. So with that being said, how far do you think KD, Kyrie, and Simmons can go?
I think they can go all the way. And not only that, you have to make them the favorite right now because of the talent level that they have. Ben Simmons coming over, I think, you know, his skill sets fit exactly what Brooklyn needs. You know, he's a distributor, he's a defender, he's a rebounder, and Kyrie can play off the ball sometimes. You got Durant who can play off the ball. You got shot makers. I mean, they're highly skilled. And then you still have, you got Curry coming over, you got Patty Mills, and then you add Drummond to that. Brooklyn is loaded. I mean, they're really loaded, and they can hit you in so many different areas. And, you know, as the great Will Robinson always said to me, you know, scoring covers a multitude of sins, and Brooklyn has a lot of scoring.
Here's my issue with Isaiah Thomas on this, okay, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start off the conversation by saying I know who I'm talking to, okay? I know who I'm talking to. I know I'm talking to one of the great ones who prides himself on teaching folks the game. I would know because of how often he has schooled me. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to challenge him on this. I won't challenge the point that the Brooklyn Nets could go all the way. When you've got KD and Kyrie, Lord have mercy, that's just a showstopper right there. You know they're good for 120 a night. Nobody is stopping them. We get that part. But to say that they're the favorites at this particular juncture, no, I'm not going that route. I do recall there is a reigning defending NBA champion that is the Milwaukee Bucks that Zeke, Isaiah Thomas himself, has raved about. They are led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, a.k.a. the Greek Freak, and this brother is coming. I don't think that Jrue Holiday's a scrub. I don't think that Chris Middleton's a scrub. He's Mr. Mid-Range himself. And more importantly than anything else, ladies and gentlemen, I would remind everybody that when it comes to Isaiah Thomas, this is a man that talks not just about talent, but about chemistry. Not just about chemistry, but about defense. Not just about defense, but about coaching. Because he was coached by the great Chuck Daly, you know, Big Daddy himself. God rest his wonderful soul. You had a crew of individuals with the Bad Boys, because I ain't going to have you up here and not give love to the Bad Boys. Let me go down the list. I saw Joe Dumars. I saw Dennis Rodman. I saw Bill Laimbeer. I saw Rick Mahorn. I saw James Edwards. I saw before there was Adrian Dantley. And then obviously you had my man himself, your boy Mark. So I'm looking at it from this perspective. Okay, Mark Aguirre, I'm sorry. You look at it from that perspective, and I'm like, wait a minute. Chemistry, defense. Now, those are the two things Brooklyn is lacking. Can they capture it by the end of the season? All-world point guard Isaiah Thomas? Yes, they can. Are there some question marks as to whether they will? Hell yes. You got Kyrie Irving leaning on Mayor Eric Adams, hoping that he lifts the New York City mandate. You understand? So you don't have to be vaccinated in order to play in the Barclays Center. If you're a home team, you're a visitor, that's a different story, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. Kyrie Irving actually should be allowed to play, in all fairness to him, if visitors can play. But that's still an issue. And then we got Ben Simmons, who, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, has been out for 10 months, is completely physically healthy, clearly well-rested, and still, it's like, well, there might be another few weeks as to when he's ready to play or not. I mean, what the hell is going on? So I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, Isaiah Thomas, respectfully, I don't understand how you can jump to the conclusion that the Brooklyn Nets should be the favorites at this particular juncture to win it all.
So let me give you my reasons why. You know, you talked about, you know, our Detroit Pistons and our Bad Boy team. What we were known for was defense and rebounding. What Brooklyn has acquired, they've acquired one of the best defenders in the game in Simmons, okay? And then they acquired one of the best rebounders in the game in Drummond. So they filled two holes. And then they got the offensive scoring power and the punch. They got the excitement. They got the entertainment. And again, what made our Bad Boys, you know, Detroit Piston team good was people wanted to see us. We were exciting. We were must-see TV. We were must-talk about. The Brooklyn Nets are all of that. They got the cachet. They got the swag. Now, can they build the chemistry? Can they build the defense? They have all the pieces. Absolutely. Now, when you talk about Milwaukee, Milwaukee has lost some toughness. When you lose Lopez, you lose Tucker. I mean, those are two players that were very integral parts. Yeah, because he was big. They had size. When you look at Milwaukee right now, okay, the thing that they're struggling with now is they don't have the type of overwhelming size that they had last year. Brooklyn now has that overwhelming size in the middle from a rebounding standpoint, not from a shot blocking standpoint. But when you talk about offense and defense, Brooklyn has a chance to put together the total package.
Well, I love how you explaining it, and I hope that you appreciate the fact that you educating our listeners. You're not educating me on this, because when the trade first went down between Philly and Brooklyn, in the interest of full disclosure, who did I call to talk about that trade? That would be you, okay? So we were on the phone talking about this stuff. This is not new, all right? So we got this. My point to you is this. Brooklyn, as a talent, we're fantasizing over what the playmaker that is Ben Simmons will bring to the table with the showstoppers that is KD and Kyrie offensively. Of course, you throw Seth Curry up in there because you got Patty Mills and Seth Curry. So for 48 minutes a night, you're going to have a 40-plus percent three-point shooter on the court in one of those two dudes. And we ain't even bring Joe Harris into the equation. I get that, okay? But all I'm saying to you is this. When I look at them, we sleep on Milwaukee. We sleeping on Miami a little bit. You've got some people, and I agree with you, in terms of James Harden, Joel Embiid, what we need to see from them. I get that, and we'll talk about that as well. But Miami and Milwaukee, I cannot ignore. And at this particular moment in time, I would put Brooklyn ahead too if they had the chemistry. But because the chemistry is such a question mark, because of, dare I say, the enigmatic figures that is Kyrie Irving and Bill and Ben Simmons, I just don't know if I could throw them there at this particular moment.
A lot of ifs, Stephen A. I'll give you the last word here to Isaiah before we move on.
Well, this is where the greatness of Kevin Durant will shine. He's the best player in the game right now. We all know that when he's healthy. Now, his leadership in terms of being able to bring everybody together, get them to focus and move in one direction, this is what LeBron James was known for doing in several different places. I think Durant right now has the ability not only to lead, but to galvanize, inspire, and bring his team together and do it in a way that only he can do it. He's very soft-spoken in his leadership, but he's very forceful in the way that he plays. And I think that he'll be able to bring that team together and lead them to a finals.
Absolutely. All right, Zeke going with the Nets. Obviously, they have the offense and filling two huge holes in defense and rebounding, and SA not quite sold. Guys, let's go out west. A huge loss for the team with the NBA's best record, the Suns. The future Hall of Famer Chris Paul, who leads the NBA in assists and clutch plus minus, is now sidelined 6 to 8 weeks. The silver lining, though, last season, Phoenix went 4-0 without Paul, and two of those were playoff wins. So Paul averaging nearly 11 assists per game for a Suns team that entered the All-Star break with a 6.5-game lead on the Warriors. Zeke, how will the CP3 injury impact the Suns and the entire West picture?
Huge. Huge. It's seismic in terms of, you know, it's like one of the big earthquakes that have happened out in the West in terms of basketball. You know, you can't measure CP3 in terms of his stats. And when I say CP3, I get confused because I got Ace in terms of Candace Parker, who I'm working with over at NBA TV and TNT, and now I got CP3 here. Right. So it's like, no offense to either one of them. They're both are great. But, you know, with Chris Paul, you know, being hurt and injured, what you're going to miss, which you can't measure, is his intellect out on the floor, his leadership that he brings, the comfort that he provides to that team, and then you have a coach on the floor. You know, we only measure by 5 stat boxes. What CP3 does in the game that he plays is beyond the stat sheet. And what he brings to that team from a winning standpoint, you know, it's a huge loss. It's unimaginable right this at this time. Now, will they find someone to give them the stats that he was able to give? Maybe. Will they find leadership and intelligence that he was able to provide? No, that's irreplaceable.
Let me say this to you, Zeke. I do agree with you that it is seismic. I would say that it would cost them the title, even though he'll be back for the playoffs. But I had the Warriors coming out of the West anyway, and I wasn't jumping off of that bandwagon with or without a healthy CP3. I will say, however, that the coaching of Monty Williams has to come into play here. This man has proven to be an elite coach and leader on the NBA level. I just can't say enough about Monty Williams. When you consider how deferential he is in increments, knowing when to give something to CP3, knowing when to give something to the rest of the players, knowing when to step in and do what he does as a leader while still coaching the team, I just want to take a moment to say that it's beautiful to see the J.B. Bickerstaffs and others doing the job that they're doing on the NBA level. But when I think about Monty Williams, I think about African-American coaches across the coaching landscape. Because we all know that evidently there's some people in other sports, NFL, that have question marks about black men being leaders of men. And Monty yeah. Williams is showing the world that there are brothers that can do this and do this at an elite level. So my major props to him. And because of him is why I think that even though CP3's loss is seismic, in the same breath, Monty Williams has the capability to not make it as seismic as we all believe it to be because of the way he can get the troops to rally around CP3's absence and get the Bridges and the Bookers and DeAndre Ayton's and everybody else to really come together. My thing is, and by the way, as an aside, you brought up Candace Parker. First of all, as much as I love you, my brother, you know that. I would love to see her instead of you this morning. I mean, Candace Parker. I'm a fan, damn it. Okay? And she is always welcome on First Take. So let me be very clear about that.
You always want the champion.
That's right. That's right, absolutely. And that is her. But let me say this. Still in all, I can't emphasize this enough, and I'm glad you're here to hear me say this. I never jumped off the Golden State bandwagon, and I refuse to. I've been saying all year long, wait until Klay Thompson comes back. And ladies and gentlemen, he is back. And just inching and inching and inching towards being the Klay that we know, the 33 that he dropped the other week. Okay, we saw that against the Lakers. It was a spectacular performance, but we're just watching him coming. We know Draymond is coming back and what he does, of course, defensively, but offensively from a playmaking standpoint for those two individuals, the Jordan Pools of the world, the Descano Andersons, when he ain't in the damn dunk contest, embarrassing himself, I like him, okay? Gary Payton II, we know what he can bring, all right? And I just think that I'm hearing Wiseman's coming back in March. I think that additional 7-footer with some offensive capabilities, but also 6 fouls to give you, goes a long way. Zeke, regardless of what I'm seeing from Phoenix, no matter how much I love Monty Williams, and I got CP3 as an MVP candidate before he got hurt, top four MVP candidate, because that's how spectacular he's been, I've never had them ahead of the Golden State Warriors. To me, they are the clear team to beat in the Western Conference. I don't give a damn what records say. Your thoughts?
I'm going to agree with you. You know, Golden State is the team to beat, and when healthy, they were all of our picks. Now, everything that you just said, I'm going to add one more thought to that. We were in Cleveland, and Steph Curry now is, you know, been brought into the room of the 75, and that was the first time that he was ever in the room with all the greats. I got a chance to watch him, see his reaction, see his respect, but also accept his being honored in that space, and then go out and have the type of performance that he did in the All-Star game. Now, what that said to me is that from a confidence standpoint, and I can tell you from experience, when you walk into that room and you are anointed and you get your stamp, and you get your jacket, right?
Your flowers.
The confidence that you have is immeasurable. And what Steph Curry is getting ready to do the second half of the season, along with his teammates, Stephen A., he's getting ready to go to even a higher level. And we just saw a glimpse of it in the All-Star game.
It's interesting that you say that because, I mean, he's clearly had enough confidence as a shooter. But, you know, the word that I would use is validation. He knew he had it from his modern day contemporaries. He knew that he had it from the fans. But there's something to be said about cats that pave the way for you, that roll up on you. And it's like, you're one of us. You belong in this room. And I think that's a big deal. And here's the reason why, just to display the dichotomy that exists. It's like, we got a lot of Hall of Famers. Some, in some people's eyes, are questionable. As far as I'm concerned, you in, you in. You're a Hall of Famer, major props to you. You deserve it. You deserve your fly, all of that stuff. That's cool. But there are different rooms and different levels in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And so when we look at the Michael Jordan and we look at the Bill Russells of the world, okay, Isaiah Thomas is in that room. You see what I'm saying? Isaiah Thomas is in that room. LeBron is in that room. Kobe, Shaq, they are in that room. Steph Curry is in that room. Yeah. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
This is the greatest shooter we have ever seen in the history of man. He's just that lethal, okay? And so when I look at it from that perspective, and I'm saying you got your boy Klay back, and when you look at a Jordan Poole and the other cats that they've got who can ball, this is what people miss about Klay's value. Klay is also an elite shooter. Klay is also an elite sniper. But Isaiah, you'll appreciate this. Klay knows how to play basketball. See, you can be a talent and an elite talent, but not necessarily know how to play. Klay knows how to play basketball. And oh, by the way, Klay belongs in that room. When his day comes, he should have been on an all-time 75 list. And Klay, when he retires, will belong in that elite room that's reserved for the elect few. And he knows how to play with Steph. That's what makes him so special. He knows how to ball, and he knows how to play with Steph. It's going to be
special.
We
all concur on that. But can we please get to that 75 list? And can we get to you, Isaiah Thomas, 12-time All-Star Hall of Famer, two-time champ? Here we go. So earlier this season, the NBA unveiled its 75th anniversary team. ESPN's expert panel ranked them. And here's what they came up with. Of course, Isaiah was honored on this elite roster, coming in at number 27. Which I certainly will ask you about coming up. But right now I want to focus on the top two spots, LeBron 2, MJ 1. In this tweet, Isaiah, again, folks, hot. The greatest all-around player ever. Let it be known, LeBron James. Now, Isaiah, you battled against MJ, yet you're saying LeBron is the greatest all-around player. Talk to me.
I can speak from experience. And I can speak factually and accurately. And on that list also, Magic's on that list, Kareem's on that list, and I say all-around player. By the time LeBron James is done, he is the only player in the history of all game that will probably be ranked top 10 or top 5 in every statistical category. Never been done before. Mm. Now, we've had some players who dominate the scoring title or dominate the steals or dominate the rebound, but we have never, ever in my lifetime or anybody else's lifetime seen a player that is so thoroughly dominated in every statistical category. And when I say he's the GOAT, here's what I mean, right? When you talk about he and Kareem in terms of their 20-year dominance over a sport, and then both of them being able to touch every single aspect of the statistical categories and be leaders in that category, you can't be considered the GOAT and you don't lead in no statistical category. When you talk about Kareem and you talk about LeBron James, that is the conversation in terms of, in my opinion, who's the best to ever do it. Because from a winning percentage standpoint, from a statistical standpoint, from an impact on the game standpoint, any criteria of measurement that you want to use, these two are in the top five in almost every single category. Now, when you talk about popularity and the most marketable, Jordan out-trumps everybody, with the exception of he and LeBron. Because what he and LeBron have done for all game of basketball, and let me be clear when I say this, Michael Jordan, what he did from a marketing and basketball standpoint for all game of basketball is immeasurable. And we never thought that we would ever see anybody do that again. But what LeBron James has done from a marketing and an impact standpoint in terms of financial dollars coming in, he and Jordan stand alone in terms of improving our game and making it possible that we can have these jobs to talk about them. So we thank Jordan and we thank LeBron, but when it comes to the measurement and the criteria, you know, LeBron James and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar are in categories by themselves.
We've had this discussion before, Isaiah Thomas, and I got to tell you this. Before I go into my position about this publicly against you, of all people, okay, I will ask you this question. Do you have LeBron over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Not until he passes him in the scoring title, but as an all-around player, yes. And by the time that LeBron James is finished, see, we're measuring LeBron James now, and he's still in his basketball playing career. But we can safely say that by the time he's done playing, he may have passed Kareem. When he passes Kareem in scoring, you have to anoint him as the GOAT.
Okay. Well, I don't. And I won't. Let me get that out the way first. That's number one. You know, you know where I'm going with this. Okay. I'll let you speak. It's my turn now. It's my turn now, Isaiah. Here's the deal.
Stephen A. Group,
here's the deal.
Can I hide under the table? Can I hide under the table?
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. Okay. The reason I asked you that question, Isaiah Thomas, here's the reason I asked you that question. Because if numbers are not what we're talking about per se, because if numbers were what we're talking about, then there's nothing to discuss. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 19-time All-Star, 6-time champion, 6-time league MVP. You know, I mean, the only individual with one unstoppable move in the history of the sport that still hasn't been figured out whenever. He could come on the short and score right now and do sky hooks, and he'd still be better than anybody else trying to do a sky hook right now. And the man's damn near 70 years old. The point that I'm trying to make to you is this. When you look at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and what he brings to the table, and he's retired as the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, where he still stands, numbers wise, and you consider his success at UCLA and in high school Powell Memorial, New York City, all of that other stuff. I mean, just the greatest if you're looking at it from there. But we do have something called the eye test. We can look at it and we see the all around capabilities that you pointed out about LeBron James. Can't be dismissed because Jordan didn't concern himself with doing all the things that LeBron does. Here's where my attitude with you comes into play. Because the road to prosperity that was traveled, I can't believe you diminish it the way that you do. LeBron ain't had to go against there was no semblance of the Bad Boys. Even the Bad Boys Part 2 with the New York Knicks, with Mason and Oakley and Ewing and all of these brothers before Charles Smith, God bless him, ruined everything by not being able to make a layup on 4 different tries, okay, in a conference finals against the Bulls. Before all of that happened, the New York Knicks was Part 2 of the Bad Boys. Y'all were the original Bad Boys. You talked about it. You know what y'all brought to the table and what Jordan had to go through. We know what rules were implemented to try to stymie what the hell y'all were doing, for crying out loud. The game, you, the Bad Boys, are responsible for some of the rules changes that took place. And the way the NBA felt it was a priority to sort of change the complexion and make the game prettier because y'all were going to an arena as the Bad Boys, proud of it. We gonna shut you down. We gonna do whatever it takes to beat you. You ain't getting on us. We got The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, and in the damn docuseries, you got John Sally saying, we had to get him before he took off, because you know he wasn't human. He wasn't human. You know what I'm saying? We had to get him before he took off. This is the kind of stuff that was said. And so I'm saying to you, we got a guy like Michael Jordan, who's a 6-time champion, unblemished in NBA Finals appearances. We got LeBron, who's lost 6 NBA Finals, okay? All of them weren't his fault. Most of them weren't his fault. But some of them he was directly responsible for, or at least a couple of them, when you especially against Dallas. So we got to look at that. We got to look at the fact that, again, who are you going up against? What era are we playing in? Okay. And I look at it from that perspective, and I'm saying to you, Isaiah, of all people, you know, the face of the Bad Boys. I mean, how could you sit up there and know that LeBron James never had to go through somebody like y'all to get to where he is, still got more finals losses than wins, all right, and sit up there and say he is the GOAT. I know as an all-around talent. I'm not questioning that. That's why I got him number two all time on my Mount Rushmore. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, Zeke. You do know that's an insult to the LeBron James kid, right? I mean, my God, how dare me? In the history of basketball, I only have one player above you in the history of the sport. And the Rich Pauls of the world will act like I'm insulting him, which is ridiculous. The real insult is the fact that you ranked 24th or 27th. I didn't even look. But yeah. I didn't see you in the top 20. I didn't want to think about it. It's an insult. You should be much higher. But this particular debate here, I just don't understand you, bro. I just don't understand you.
Okay, so let me see if I can help you with your understanding of where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Because what you just...
Yes.
The oral history you just gave, it did not compute with the highlights that y'all were showing. Okay? The highlights that y'all were showing of Michael Jordan playing against and beating, you know, the people in the 90s, Michael Jordan didn't beat Larry Bird. You showed Michael Jordan going between his legs one time in the highlights, you know, against Larry Bird. And that was the game he got 63.
That's when he dropped 63 on Bird. Yes. Yes.
But if memory serves me correct, they got swept. No, not lost. They got swept. Okay.
That's true.
His team and Michael Jordan.
LeBron's got swept too now.
Pardon? Who got swept?
LeBron has gotten swept before.
Okay,
yes, well, he's got swept before.
Let me get to that, okay? So Michael Jordan in the 80s, right? He never won. And he never beat Larry Bird. He never beat Magic and Kareem. I'm going to say that again. He never beat Magic and Kareem. Now, truth be told, I beat Magic and Kareem, and I beat Larry Bird and his Celtics. Michael Jordan never beat those teams. In the 90s.
That's true.
In the 90s, Michael Jordan beat, you know, he beat Barkley, he beat Karl Malone, he beat Stockton, he beat Gary Payton, he beat Sean Kemp. Those are the people that he beat. The way y'all try to tell the story is that he came through Boston. He came through, you know, L.A. Now, he beat the Detroit Pistons at the end. And then he went on to have his career.
Well, then hold on, y'all in. Whoa. I don't want to hear
that about the Detroit Pistons at the end.
Y'all were in the conference finals. Y'all were in the conference finals when he beat you. It wasn't like y'all were a has-been. Y'all were in the conference finals.
I am not dismissing that. I am saying they beat us and he beat us and they swept us. But the way the story has been told has been, y'all put Michael Jordan in the 80s with Magic, Bird, and you take the Pistons, and y'all, I don't even know what y'all do with the Pistons. Y'all don't even talk about us like we were in the 80s. But hold on, wait a minute.
I don't know. I do.
Not you.
All right,
not
okay.
You. But it goes Magic, Bird, Jordan, and all I'm saying is in the 80s, what I remember in the 80s, it was Philadelphia with Dr. J, Magic, Kareem, Bird, Michael Jordan, he was a non-factor in the 80s in terms of his basketball team.
Now, wait a minute.
Let me give him his credit.
Okay.
Let me give him his credit. Because he was MVP. The best year that he had was he was the MVP of the league and the defensive player of the year. I believe that was in 88.
Yes.
We beat them 4-1. I'm going to say that again. 4-1. They won one
May
game.
May I respond?
Please, go ahead.
May I respond?
Please, go ahead.
My response is, first of all, first of all,
I'm just giving you
I'm
facts.
Not going to disagree. No. I'm not going to disagree with anything you said because in fairness to you, you spit facts. That is a fact. Everything you said, which is why it's a travesty that you're ranked 27th, okay? Michael Jordan personally told me you're the second greatest point guard in the history of basketball behind Irvin Magic Johnson. So everybody knows what level of respect and reverence you deserve. It's a travesty that you're that low. You should be much higher. And especially for the points that you pointed out, because you did beat all of them. Fair enough. Let's get to LeBron.
Yeah.
You go through the first 7-8 years of your career, you lose. How'd you win your first chip? You went to Miami and joined forces with D-Wade and Bosh. Not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7. Remember that? And before that happened, you lost to Dallas. And when you lost to Dallas, there were 4 straight fourth quarters, or at least 3, where you were nowhere to be found while being guarded by Jason Terry or a Jason Kidd. So what I'm saying to you is, when we talk about Jordan and when we talk about LeBron, and I hope LeBron is listening from this perspective, it's not to throw shade. You're one of the top 2 players in the history of the sport, as far as I'm concerned. You are on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, and he is to be deified to some degree, just the same way the Kareems, the MJ. LeBron is in that room. Creme de la creme. We get all of that. But what I'm saying is that we compare moments. Sometimes moments are the ones that define it. Like for you, Zeke, your greatest moment, some could argue, was in a loss to the Los Angeles Lakers when you badly twisted your ankle, scored 25 points in 1 quarter, okay, busting their living you know what, but then you had a bad ankle when y'all lost the first shot against the Los Angeles Lakers. There's a lot of people that believe y'all beat the Lakers, and the Lakers don't repeat if Isaiah Thomas doesn't get hurt. So even though you were a 2-time champion thereafter, beating Magic and them, and then after that beating, you know, the Blazers, with Drexler and those boys, your defining moment in a lot of people's eyes was that. Because when we're talking about greatness, it's about the moments we can peel from it, right? I'm telling you, look at Jordan in his moments. Look at Jordan in his moments. So I'm looking at Jordan in his moments. I'm looking at an undefeated, unblemished championship play when he was in the finals. I'm thinking about the fact that he retired for 2 years before coming back and winning 3 more. I'm thinking about all of that. And I'm thinking about the level of competition he went against, which is why I say, comparing that to LeBron, that's why I got LeBron number 2 and MJ number 1, and ain't a damn soul ever changing my mind on that. That's why.
Well, I respect and I appreciate your opinion. But let me just throw some facts around LeBron James' career, okay? Now,
okay.
I don't believe in 10 of those finals that he's been to. I think maybe his team was favored maybe 6 times. I don't think LeBron James went to the finals and got upset. Maybe he only got upset once, and that was by Dallas. The other 9 times that he's gone to the finals, and listen to what I'm saying, the other 9 times that he's gone to the finals, several of those times that he went in, his team wasn't favored to win. That means he didn't come in with the best team. Every time Michael Jordan went to the finals, he was the favorite. He had the best team. His team was better than the other team. So let's give Scottie Pippen, you know, Horace Grant, let's give them their credit. Because when they played against Utah, when they played against Seattle, when they played against Portland, and am I missing the team? Phoenix. When they played against those 4 teams, right?
They all Jordan's deserve credit. Team, they all deserve credit.
Jordan's team was favored to win every time. When LeBron James went to the finals with Cleveland, he wasn't favored to win against Tim Duncan. Okay, so when you look at the path that LeBron James and the players that LeBron James has had to play against, Michael Jordan never had to beat a 73-9 basketball team down 3-1.
Oh, don't get me started with that.
Don't get me started to that. Hold on 1 second, fellas. We got to wrap this up soon. I just want to let you know, I let this roll almost 40 minutes. So just final thoughts here. We have Isaiah for a while. Let's get our final thoughts, and let me get in a quick commercial break, please.
So my final thought, the greatest NBA performance I've ever seen is LeBron James being down 3-1 in the NBA Finals to a 73-9 Golden State team and coming back
okay.
Oh, please.
In the NBA Finals,
okay.
And beating a 73-9 Golden State Warriors.
We're gonna end. We're gonna end on
you
that.
You mean the stimulus package out of Silver and NBA game dumps?
Never been done in the history.
We're ending on that mic drop. To recap, Isaiah says LeBron is the greatest all-around player and be the first player ever to finish top 10 in every statistical category. We have plenty more to get into with these two. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Last Saturday's dunk contest left us a bit underwhelmed. It was pretty bad that Stephen A. didn't even get excited about a Knick finally winning. But don't you worry. Stephen Naismith has a plan to fix it.
I am proposing on national television a national slam dunk tournament nationwide. All throughout the cities throughout America. You see brothers in the park, in the streets, that can dunk and put on an absolute show and let them get sponsored by their favorite all-star. But we got to get cats who can put on a show in the dunk contest.
Isaiah, are you a fan of Stephen A's proposed plan to fix the dunk contest?
You know, it's a great idea, just not for the NBA. I mean, to bring guys off the streets and give them the opportunity to compete against some of the best athletes and the best players in the world. You know, I don't know if we have problems now getting players to come and compete against NBA players. An NBA player right now is not going to, forgive me when I say this, he's not going to take his craft and measure it against a guy, you know, off the street and in the park. Now they love to see him.
No, no, no. I want to stop you. No, Zeke, that's not what I'm saying. Before you continue, I in no way was implying that the guys in dunk contests off the streets should compete with the NBA players. I'm saying since the NBA players have shown an unwillingness to compete and participate in the dunk contest, for whatever reason, get dudes who really want to do something in the dunk contest, get them to participate, and let the NBA players sponsor them. So if I'm for the Los Angeles, if I'm for the New York Knicks, crying out loud,
right.
And I got somebody from Rutgers Park, let them sponsor that athlete. That's right. I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Now,
that's what I
would go for that. Yeah, I would go for that, you know, because now you're picking a team, you're picking your best dunker from your community or whatever.
Right.
Can be for charity, and they put up the show. Okay, I would go for that because some of those guys that we see, you know, are extremely creative, right? So you may have a Kevin Durant back team that's going to charity, like this guy we showed on the screen right now. Ain't nobody in the NBA doing that, right? I like that idea. That's a great idea. And then you expose new talent. You find new talent. You find new people. And it's sponsored by an NBA player, but not an NBA player competing with that. So I agree with that.
Right.
I like that idea. See, that's why you on TV, man. That's why you Stephen A. Smith.
That's exactly what. Because here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. Just think about it. And here's what I proposed, Zeke. $1 million prize for the winner, $500,000 for the runner-up, $100,000 for third place. Or it obviously could be a little less than that. But the point is, that's a lot of money to the average Joe.
Yeah.
Okay? We got to put this stuff in perspective. That's an awful lot of money. Could you imagine the level of competition that would take place nationwide? Everybody would be talking about NBA All-Star Weekend months in advance because you're having dunk contests all over the place. Everybody's gravitating, trying to work their way towards All-Star Weekend. It would be a huge, huge buildup. And the players don't have to participate because, let's face it, nobody can be confused with being the Vince Carters and the Michael Jordans and the Dominique Wilkins and the Tracy McGrady's and Dwight Howard's of the world and Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon's. Nobody's going to be. That slam dunk contest was a global atrocity. Basketball parlance. There's no excuse for how awful that contest was. And when I saw that, I said, enough's enough, because evidently it's too hard to get these stars that we want to see. Ja Morant said he wasn't interested.
Why, though, Stephen A.?
Bridges wasn't
interested. And Isaiah, don't they want to compete like back in the day, in the glory days, when everyone did?
Ask Isaiah.
I really don't know. I mean, we were, I guess, just overly competitive and still is today, as you can see, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Our generation, we just wanted to compete. I mean, we're still competing today, right? You know, but at the same time, you know, Stephen A., I like what you're saying because, and by the way, I'll be a partner with you in this from a business standpoint. We can do this together. I do think that we'll be able to get the star players now to participate as coaches of these young men and women who are in the dunk contest, right? You know, we don't forget the young woman who's at Stanford now. You know, before she tore up her knee, she was doing some nice, you know, she was doing some stuff. But we can open it up, right? And you will have, I can see a LeBron James sponsor team, and LeBron's there coaching the guys. I can see a Kevin Durant sponsor team. I can see a Ja Morant sponsor team from Memphis. I mean, I can see it being highly competitive. I'm with you on that.
Exactly.
Let's partner
and not only that, listen, and let me tell you something, when we partner, I don't want anything. I don't need anything from this. I'm fine. All I want to do, we love the NBA, man, and we know what made the NBA what it was and what it is. And when you see these phenomenal athletes with their capabilities, but you see no evidence of that Come slam dunk contest on All-Star Weekend. Well, guess what? The hell with it then. Stop being in a contest. Let's get some cats out there who love the NBA themselves but ain't attached to the NBA that could contribute to really highlighting the beauty of the NBA brand. Because slam dunk contest Saturday night was a disgrace. A disgrace. And everybody there knows it. Isaiah was a judge. Don't even ask him. I can't. Just look at Shaq's face. Just look at all of these guys. You don't have to ask them. Just look at the footage. And you can see how they missed as many dunks as I would miss. And I'm 54 years old. I mean, and I was never a dunker. I mean, that's just a damn shame. All something right. got to be done.
We're,
and we're I think this is the
it.
Answer.
We all co-sign Stephen A. I'm for anything that pays it forward. You know this. Isaiah Thomas, this was such a treat. Please come back again soon. All the best to my family, and we'll talk to you soon here.
Molly, you are our sister and our family. Thank you for allowing us to be here today, and thank you for monitoring, you know, playing the school monitor over Stephen A. and I.
Welcome to my life, a day in the life, a referee, a teacher, a babysitter, sometimes a host, you know, wearing many hats out here. All right, Isaiah, thank you so much.
I will call you later, and we will finish this Michael Jordan, LeBron James discussion.
Oh, my goodness.
Expect a call from me later.